You've probably heard guitarist James Burton, even if you don't know it. Ever since he was a teenager, he's been recording behind a remarkable array of artists, from Ricky Nelson to Ray Charles. He also managed to put out some records on his own. With the help of a recent album on Ace Records, rock historian Ed Ward surveys the first half of his career from 1956 to 1969.
What were you doing when you were 16?
Merle Travis was supposed to be on the show tonight. He was scheduled. We was expecting a number. Matter of fact, right about this time we'd be introducing a number by Merle. And then we're sorry to hear that he wasn't able to make it, not feeling too well. So I was going to ask, I believe this is James Burton, isn't it? James, come out here and play Merle Travis's guitar solo. Will you do that?
Hey,
Johnny,
I'd like to do one that Merle had out called Cannonball Red.
Let's do it.
When he was 16, James Burton was inventing the American guitar. He'd been born in Dubberly, Louisiana in 1939 and was apparently self-taught on his instrument. At 15, he cut a single backing local singer Carol Williams, and then one day he came up with a guitar riff that he liked. He took it to a singer from Shreveport he was touring with, and they worked out a song to use in his act. One thing led to another, and it wound up on a record, credited to Dale Hawkins, the singer. This led to a regular gig on the Louisiana Hayride radio show, which in turn led to Burton's joining the band of Bob Lumen, a rockabilly and country singer who made some great records, due, of course, to having a great guitarist.
Well, 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 make up your mind, baby, what are you gonna do? If you can't be true, then you and I are through. Have you forgotten the love that's in your heart and the one who cares for you? Last night you told me that you wished I'd stay away. Now you phone and want me back again today. Well, 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 make up your mind, baby, if you can't be true, then I'm not the one for you.
Lumen found himself in Hollywood to make a film called Carnival Rock, and one night at a show Lumen was playing the Collins kids, Larry and Laurie were there, as was Laurie's new boyfriend, Ricky Nelson, who was a television star thanks to his parents' sitcom Ozzie and Harriet. Seeing a kid his own age who could play that well, he immediately offered James a place in his own band, and each week Ozzie and Harriet signed off with Ricky doing one of his latest records. There was James Burton, making it look easy.
Well, I hear that you've been sneaking around on me.
Better stop sneaking around.
But honey, that's not the way it's gonna be.
Well, yeah.
Well, I told you once and I warned you twice. If you want my love, you gotta be nice and stop that crazy sneaking around on me.
Better stop sneaking around.
Working with Nelson solidified Burton's place in the Hollywood rock and roll universe. He started getting called for sessions. There were hundreds of them, and neither he nor anyone else remembers all of them. But by the early 60s, he was a busy guy.
One day the kiddies will open their books all about history. They'll turn to page 19 and read about me. People far and wide will know about my fame. Ever living soul will know my name. Now I have
the obscure Trying to Be Someone by David and Lee from 1962 shows Burton as one of the pioneers of a stinging one-string solo technique that was soon to make Bakersfield country music famous, although in this case, he's backing up David Gates and Leon Russell, who would make an entirely different kind of music. Shortly after this, British TV producer Jack Good decided America needed a British-style rock and roll television show and launched Shindig. It never really caught on, but James Burton was asked to assemble the band. The Shindogs, as they were known, featured Glenn D. Hardin on piano, Joey Cooper on rhythm guitar and vocals, Chuck Blackwell on drums, and Delaney Bramlett on bass. Left behind a single for Warner Brothers that wasn't particularly inspired, but showed the genesis of a Los Angeles sound which would grow in the next couple of years, as would the L.A. rock scene. And although he was by then a member of the Strangers, the band fronted by rising country star Merle Haggard, Burton was called in to play Dobro on one of the more impressive albums to come off the Sunset Strip.
There goes another day and I wonder why and I keep telling lies. I can't believe what you say, 'cause tomorrow's lullaby can't pacify my lonesome crying.
Buffalo Springfield had plenty of guitar players, but that Dobro hook was exactly what that song needed. Playing with Haggard was surely fun, but before long, his former Shindog pianist Glenn Hardin approached him to see if he'd like to work in another band fronted by a singer named Elvis Presley. James Burton said yes, but that's a story for another time. He was, however, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2001 by another guitarist named Keith Richards, and he's still playing.
Ed Ward lives in France. He reviewed a new collection of recordings by guitarist James Burton on Ace Records. Coming up, David Edelstein reviews the new Wes Anderson film, Moonrise Kingdom. This is Fresh Air.